There we go.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah, that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pelo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I
just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
We have beautiful weather.
Yep, we got the air conditioner going. It's a balmy, I don't even have the weather up here. But anyway, it's warm. So
yeah, it's a balmy 73 degrees, 74 degrees, and beautiful starry skies. And with apologies to all of you up north who are experiencing below freezing and snows and ice and all that nasty stuff. Yeah. We are enjoying our Florida weather.
Yes, it is fantastic. People are still at the beach, so very good.
Yes, yeah.
And we're back. We had the holiday, was it last Thursday?
Oh, yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, last Thursday we took a day off with pay, which was really cool. Always good. Thank you all. And it was good times. So,
jumped on the All About Wine jet and Thanksgiving.
That's right. Mm. Yep, that was fantastic, touring the United States. So here we are, and we have an interesting topic tonight. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you to Armed Forces Radio Network, and hello to all you out there tuning in worldwide, wherever you may be, and as we approach the holidays and our kind of interesting schedule this time of year. But like last Thursday was canceled, and well, not canceled, it was just a holiday, and we'll see what's happening in December. But no, the day after. Okay, because it's on Wednesday, so yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we should be able to do the show. Yeah,
I'll think so. No, depends.
Kwanzaa begins. We might have to skip because of Kwanzaa. But, well, we'll see as we get closer.
Write that down. I didn't realize. Okay. All right. Anyway, here is where are we at? I can't find my regular sound thing, but okay. Anyway, here's Ron and with tonight's topic. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you. Got a few things to talk to you about before we get on our tonight's major topic. one of the things I want to bring up is something I found here, which I thought was really interesting. I want to share this with you. It's out of Beverage Dynamics magazine. It's one of the trade journals that I get. But it lists when you distill or ferment or whatever to make spirits or wine or something. And it just gives a brief update. It tells you a little bit about what these things are. I want to share this with you because there's some interesting facts here and interesting things that you may or may not know, but it's always good to review if you don't do and good to hear if you don't. Water source says the fact of the matter is the largest ingredient in any distilled spirit under 100 proof is water. A whiskey bottled at 80 proof, which is actually, do we have a call coming in? No. Okay. A whiskey bottled at 80 proof, which is 40% alcohol by volume, and that's, you know, if it's proof, half of that is the alcohol by volume. 40% alcohol by volume contains 60% water. So whatever the alcohol by volume, the rest of it's water. So if it's, you know, 90 proof, then that is going to be 45% alcohol, 55% of it's going to be water. So the quality and taste of the water is a huge variable when they're making spirits. The one notable exception is cask strength, and these are bottled undiluted directly from the barrel and usually doesn't contain any water. Suppliers of boutique spirits make a point of identifying the source of the water so that you know what it is, like a limestone filtered spring water or glacial water, underground aquifer, whatever it has to be. Water is very critical to spirits. Fermentation is simply the process through which the sugars in a raw ingredient are converted into alcohol and carbon dioxide. When you ferment something, it lets off carbon dioxide, but it also converts it into sugar. So the higher the alcohol content, usually the less sugars in it because you're fermenting those sugars out. The catalyst is yeast, which a lot of times there's proprietary strains of yeast that are used for different things or different types of wine yeast and stuff. But also there's wild yeast, which naturally occurs in the air. So you can get naturally occurring yeast in the air and pick it up and use that. That's why I always think that some of the first wines ever made were more than likely done by cavemen who just happened to leave grapes sitting by themselves in a container or in a whatever they found, and it started to ferment itself. One of the yeast isn't necessarily better than the other. Wild yeast doesn't mean that it's going to be better or, you know, proprietary strains or anything. You know, it's just a matter of what you're looking for, but it doesn't say, oh, this is better. Most handcrafted spirits are allowed to ferment slowly over the course of 48 to 72 hours. And then wine is, you know, it's fermentation. It depends on how long you want to, how high you want to get the alcohol in and all that. And distillation, although there are some exceptions, the vast majority of spirits are distilled in traditional copper pot stills. With the big moonshine thing now, that, you know, has really brought that out to people's attention. But copper pot stills are still used almost everywhere. The capacity and exact configuration of the individual still is a significant variable and often a well-kept secret. Two stills configured differently will yield markedly different spirits from the same fermented mash, which I thought was extremely interesting. If you shape your copper pot a certain way, it's going to give you a different taste as opposed to one that's shaped in yet another configuration. So I just found that extremely interesting. Another quality variable is what portion of the distillation run the master distiller, what part of the distillation run the master distiller selects for bottling. The beginning portion of the run, called the heads, contains alanides, esters, and acids that are unfit for consumption, while the end of the run, referred to as the tails, is comprised of higher alcohols that are equally disagreeable. Using the middle portion or heart of the run is optimum. Some distillers use a far smaller slice of the middle portion than others. The smaller the slice used, the more costly the production run. So just some stuff there I thought was interesting, and I wanted to share with you a little bit there. Again, if you know it, great. If you didn't, it's interesting, something to remember. A few wines that are out now, I've got to tell you, new ones that are on the shelf. Always like to bring these up whenever I notice these. I'm sure I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Ecoci, E-C-C-O-C-I wines. Ecoci or Ecoci wines are now available from Barter House, imported from the Girona region of Spain, which is really not too far from France, from the French border. The winery is committed to responsible environmental practices and was the first Spanish winery to be declared carbon zero certified in 2009. So, good thing for them. They include a Bianco, a Rosada, and a Tinto Premium and a Tinto Super Premium. The prices range from 20 to 20 for the Rosado, 33 for the Tinto, and up to 60 for the Super Premium. Deadbolt Wines has now came out with a white blend. They have Deadbolt Red has been on the shelves for a while, but they came out with a white blend. The white blend is a California Chardonnay with some Chenin Blanc in it. So it's suggested retail, $15.99. So it's available on the shelves. Stack Wine. This is, we've talked about these every once in a while, the little small, 185 mil stack of wine, all that. And I've tried some, and they're okay, and they're cool, and it's fun, and it's little plastic glasses and stuff. Stack Wine will soon be available throughout the United States. As a newly appointed distributor, Shaw Ross International Importers is starting to distribute it now. It comes in Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, and Charisma, which is a custom red blend. It is in recyclable little containers, four stacked on each other, equals 750 milliliters, although it's divided up into four little glasses, and retails about $12, $13. So you can look for those on the shelf. It's just pretty cool things to, if you're having a picnic or something like that, you don't have to worry about packing bottles and glasses and corkscrews and all that. They just come apart and you can enjoy them right there. A leading cava from Spain. Cava is a sparkling wine. That's a Spanish word for it. Has debuted with a new Brut and Brut Rosé labels, although what's unique about this is they're using a wrap-around bottle, a bottle wrap technology, which is, it covers the whole bottle. You don't, you know, it's not just a bottle, but the wrap is all part of it and everything. Available throughout the United States. It is being distributed throughout the United States, and it's $14.99. retail price, but pretty cool. I saw one at the store not too long ago when I was out doing some wine looking, and they're pretty cool little bottles. I was quite impressed with the label. Skinny Girl, we brought this up before. Skinny Girl has a new line of a Prosecco, which is a bubbly wine, a sparkling wine. $19.99 suggested price. Low calories, Skinny Girl. Promotes the fact that every glass of wine is only 100 calories. So it's something to keep an eye on if you're looking to lower calories. Most wines are going to be about 20, 30, even 40 calories more per glass. So you're actually saving some calories. They got Skinny Girl Chardonnay, $11.99. Pinot Grigio, $11.99. And Cabernet Sauvignon, $13.99. This also... is joining others that they already have out. They have a Moscato from Italy, a California Red, California White, and a California Rosé already on their line. So that's something to look for. And one other here, Trelato Wines and the well-known olive oil producer in Calavita launched a joint venture to release a collection of super premium Italian wines. Trelato is producing and marketing the wines under the Calavita brand name for distribution around the world. The initial wine launch will be Pinot Grigio, Verdicchio, Pinot Noir, and Valpolicella Ripasso. And additional wines are going to be added in the future. Suggest a retail price for the 317, while the Valpolicella Ripasso is $21. So new wines available, new stuff out there when you go out. And I always emphasize this, don't be grabbing the same thing. Look around, grab something new. It is exciting and new out there. Beaujolais Nouveau. Beaujolais Nouveau came out in November. This was the big thing here. I saw an article I wanted to share with you. Beaujolais market is getting, is really, well, people wait for it, and it's always, you see the planes take off from France and all that. We talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. But the Beaujolais market starting to worry some growers in France. The article, I won't go through the whole thing, but I just want to hit on this slightly. They're saying that the shipping the Beaujolais Nouveau out there and putting that on the market is watering down, pun intended, the Beaujolais name. It is throwing these wines out there when they're so young, and people see the Beaujolais name and they start expecting the Beaujolais to be that way instead of the heavy bodies and stuff like that that you really do find in the Beaujolais and nice blends. The Beaujolais Nouveau was started years ago as a well, it's a way to get wines, these fresh wines, out on the market. Every year they are spread out all over the world at midnight on what is it? It's not a certain date. It's there's a formula on a start in the first chance. I don't know. I don't see it here, which is not critical. But the in 2012, the United States downed more than 2 million bottles of Beaujolais Nouveau, and the Beaujolais region thinking that it's not really presenting the region as the best it could because of the Beaujolais Nouveau being the one that people think of when they think of a Beaujolais. I don't know. I guess that's probably true simply because people don't know much of a difference and they think Beaujolais and that's what they think of. So, it's sad, but, they're not going to stop the Beaujolais Nouveau. It's not ever going to happen. It will continue coming out every year and people will continue to look forward to it and people will continue to drink it. And so, if Beaujolais wants to do something about it, then, suck it up and start advertising more. So, but they are whining and crying about that. And I wanted to bring that up a little bit there. Ancient wine cellar was found in the area that is, over in Israel and that area. It was found a few years ago, and they've been holding it back and not doing it. But it's now it's finally came out. It dates back to 1700 BC near the town of, I'm not going to pronounce this right, Naharlia in northern Israel. They've uncovered some old wine cellar ruins in a Canaanite palace in Israel. And a chemical analysis showed that they kept some good stuff here. This was some good wines. It was in ceramic jars, and they expected to be used for banquets and stuff, some good events. They did some chemical testing on the scrapings and stuff that they can pick from it, and they said it was very good wine. They found 40 ceramic jars, each big enough to hold about 13 gallons in one room, which they're calling a probably a wine cellar of sorts. Maybe more wine stored elsewhere, but the amount found so far wouldn't be enough to supply just the local population. That's why they think of it as reserved for the palace use. All the wines are similar, and the jars are all unmarked and made. They think this was made by one potter. Pottery, you call him a potter, pottery man, expert. The wines held in the jars were red wines with possibly some white wines. They're not sure. No liquid was left, but they have done the residue test, and they think it's a good, decent wine. And they're saying that it really shows a lot of, sheds a lot of light on the area there and how long wine has been made and the sophistication of making wine back then. And they think it hasn't changed much over the years. So, interesting. They're 3,700-year-old wine cellar. Yeah, oh my. If you'd made the wines that were sealed tightly, I wonder if they would have lasted on that. So, just some information I wanted to share with you on that stuff there. Program tonight is, let me start out by reading you. 18th Amendment, ratified January 16, 1919, Section 1. After 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacturer, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors within, the importation thereof into, or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territories subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited. Section 2. The Congress and the several states shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Section 3. This article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of the several states as provided in the Constitution within 7 years from the date of the submission hereof to the states by the Congress. That is the 18th Amendment. That is prohibition, people. That's when we stopped selling spirits in this country, which included wine, except for the few that were smart enough to go into Sacramento wine. There's always those little things you can get around certain things, and Sacramento wine became popular among a lot of them. Brotherhood Winery in New York, that was one of the big ones that continued operation. We interviewed them, actually the winemaker from Brotherhood a few years ago, I think, what, 2 or 3 years ago, and he said that they've continuously operated since 1868, I believe it was, and it's because they were able to do Sacramento wine, so they made it through Prohibition. But then, 21st Amendment, ratified December the 5th, 1933. Yes, that is today, December 5th, we're celebrating. Section 1 states, the 18th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. Section 2, the transportation or importation into any state, territory, or possession of the United States for delivery or use therein of intoxicating liquors in violations of the laws thereof is hereby prohibited. Section 3, this article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by conventions in the several states, as provided in the Constitution, within 7 years from the date of the submission thereof to the states by the Congress. Actually, so what that did is, yes, it repealed the Constitution. It stopped it, or it repealed the, not Constitution, geez. It repealed the 21st Amendment, stopped it. And so we are no longer under. But today it's been 80 years. 80 years today is our anniversary of the amendment. Joyce Joy of Wine, and always love to quote Joyce Joy of Wine. She's been a guest with us a couple of times. If you don't subscribe to her blog, by all means do. It's really interesting. She has a couple of them. She has Joyce Joy of Wine, and she has a grave interest, which is about cemeteries and stuff. Check out some of the old shows we've done, and you can hear us talking about both our blogs and some of the stuff in it. Interesting. So, but She her latest blog talks about the noble experiment, as it was referred to, the 21st Amendment being put into place to stop drinking. I'm sorry, the 18th Amendment to stop drinking, the noble experiment, was revoked by the 21st Amendment. It was enacted on January 16, 1920. And it prohibited sales, transportation, manufacture of intoxicating liquors for beverage purposes. Many groups actually pushed this, promoted this, wanted to stop this. Women's Christian Temperance Union, the Anti-Saloon League, the Ku Klux Klan, which surprised me when I read that, and obviously various Protestant religions expected to see all sorts of changes. They expected the end of crime. They expected the end of domestic violence. Mental unstableness would stop because people weren't drinking anymore. And poverty would stop because people weren't spending all their money on booze. They felt that alcohol was the source of wanton behavior in the country and was the cause of the decline of public health and the advent of loose morals. I don't know. I've had some wine. My morals have loosened. But what they thought was going to help ended up organized crime taking over. And the first couple years, organized crime had it. When they put in prohibition, organized crime made over $3 billion a year in untaxed income from making moonshine in all sorts of different ways in the black market and selling up speakeasies popped up and all that. So it really didn't do it. They expected crime to drop. Crime increased by 24% in 30 major cities from 1920 to 1921. Assault and battery increased by 44% around the country. Homicides were up by 13%. Drug abuse was up. Not a good experiment. Stock market crash in 1929, the country became a little bit concerned by reconsidering that the 18th Amendment stopped jobs and thousands of jobs were lost. And I mean, you start closing down all the breweries and all the wineries and all the distilleries, obviously lots of jobs would be lost. Thousands of jobs lost and sales tax revenue. Believe me, it's just the first of the month. I just got through writing the government a check for sales tax revenue, and I'm just a small winery. Can you imagine the number of wineries and the amount of sales tax that would be lost if you stop them all? So they started to reconsider it. There was an anti-prohibition movement starting in the early 1930s, and as the stock market and as the times got worse, it grew and grew. And finally, on December 5th, 1933, at actually 5:32 p.m., which, I got that down to the minute there, the required three-fourths majority of the states ratified the 21st Amendment, therefore repealing the 18th Amendment. And it was, again, legal to consume. I'm sure that there was a lot of them already out there and consuming. They just made it legal so you wouldn't go to jail. Although it was repealed 30 years ago, we still have a lot of states that do not have, are still dry counties. The Prohibition Party was one that started in 1869. Prohibition Party was the one that helped push the Prohibition through, tried to stop it in and actually, you can look it up. There is a Prohibition Party. You can go to prohibitionparty.org, and there's an actual website there. It tells it has all sorts of information on it and all that. I mean, it just but it's still it's always fun when I look at this thing. But the Prohibition Party. Is still in existence. It's one of the oldest existing third-party political groups in the U.S. actually in 2012, they ran a candidate for president, and he received 519 votes, which is 519 more than I received. So it has no representatives in any office or anything, but it still does exist. You can always check it out at prohibitionparty.org. If you don't think we need to be drinking wine, it's a good way to join the movement there. So, that is Joy's Joy of Wine. Interesting little thing. I wanted to hit on that a little bit for you. And of the states that ratified, I want to. You had to have the actual number of states had to ratify this amendment. Officially took place on December 15th. December 5th was when the last state actually signed it. Obviously, people started to drink before the official date of December 15th, but it was signed by that. The first state that signed the amendment was Michigan on April the 10th, 1933, and it was followed by a whole list of different states, and the last one to sign it was Utah on December 5th, 1933. That gave it the official ratification to become the amendment, 21st Amendment, and then it officially took effect on December 15th, so we still got another 10 days before it became legal. The states of Maine and the state of Montana both followed and ratified it by conventions that they had in their state. Maine in December 6, 33, Montana August 6, 1934. The amendment was rejected by South Carolina on December 4, 1933, the day before the other state. Now, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Utah all signed it on December 5th. So there was three of them that actually did on the same day. But Utah was the last one, and because they were the last one, they get the credit for making it into the states. Voters in North Carolina rejected holding a convention to consider the amendment. They said, we're not even going to listen to it. Back in November of 1933, they said, we're not even going to listen to it. We're not going to consider it. And so they didn't do it. There were numerous states, actually, that did not consider action or anything. They took no action. They did nothing to consider the amendment. Remember, Alaska and Hawaii weren't states at the time. This was before they became states. So, Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Dakota all did no action at all to consider the amendment. They just ignored it. And Kansas has still got quite a bit of antiquated laws and rules. And if you're living in Kansas, I'm sorry about the laws they have there. They really are sort of backward. They are improving, though. They're improving everywhere. A lot of areas in this country, though, are still in dry areas. Lot of different places. Mississippi was the last remaining dry until 1966. That's rather recent. Kansas continued to prohibit public bars until 1987. And many states now delegate the authority to the counties and municipalities or stuff like that, which has created lots of lawsuits. There's been a continuous flurry of lawsuits for years by individuals and by states and all that, talking about the First Amendment rights and your right to be able to sell this stuff and all that, and that it was repealed and all that. And it's ongoing. You can probably at any given time find a lawsuit going on in this country from alcoholic beverage people to the states and how they set it up and all that. The Supreme Court actually directly address the 21st Amendment. Prior to the amendment, it was the unconstitutional for states to require a license or a fee to import beer anywhere within its borders. So the court held that Section 2 stopped the right to import intoxicating liquors free of direct burden on interstate commerce, which otherwise would have been unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause before the passage of the 21st Amendment. So they had to clarify that and took that to the Supreme Court to do that. There has been other, numerous other legal challenges considering the 21st Amendment and alcoholic beverages and spirits and all that. So it's continuing on forever, I am sure, because we as Americans like to do that stuff. Let me see something else here. Let's see. No. That's not what I want to do. Here we go. Okay. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of different places around the country called the 21st Amendment. There are bars, and there are restaurants, and there are apparel, and there are all sorts of different things that you can find around the country that are actually called the 21st Amendment. Obviously, they're playing on the fact that we repealed the laws, and they're still trying to do something with it, which is cool. I don't have a fault with it, but the 21st Amendment is being used for a lot of different things. The Great Experiment was a bust, and so therefore it is over and it is done. I'm trying to find something. Obviously, I'm talking, trying to kill a little bit of time here so I can find what I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Okay. There is a site called Repeal Day, and it's under www.repealday.org, R-E-P-E-A-L-D-A-Y, repealday.org. And Repeal Day is just what it sounds like. It's to celebrate December the 5th as the day that we repealed the 21st Amendment, or the 18th Amendment with the 21st Amendment. I keep on saying that backward, don't I? And it's they are promoting the fact that it is the time that we should celebrate with a glass of wine. Well, since this is all about wine, we'll say glass of wine or spirits or beer, whatever. But unlike St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo, Repeal Day is a day that all Americans have a part in observing because it is written into our Constitution. Yay! No other lobby, or no other lobbies, no other holidays celebrate the laws that guarantee our rights, and Repeal Day has everything to do with our personal pleasures. I suppose you can argue the Bill of Rights does, but actually, Repeal Day gives us the right to start drinking again, so we have to say that's great and that's wonderful. Easy to celebrate Repeal Day. There are no outfits to buy, there's no costumes to rent. Don't have to dye your local river green. All you need to do is stop by your local bar, tavern, saloon, distillery, brew house, or winery and have yourself a drink. Simple as that. Or pick up a bottle of wine going home and share it with someone. Or buy a shot for a stranger. Just so you can say, hey, this is Repeal Day. Without this, can you imagine what this country would be like? So, you know, no shipping into it and all that. Just think of the thousands of jobs. I mean, without alcohol, there would be no All About Wine. So it's a good thing. So celebrate Repeal Day. Again, you can check out the website at repealday.org. And it's just a one-page site, but it tells you a little bit about it. And you can check out the amendments and all the stuff that they're saying about it. So Repelve is, I don't want to do that either. Repelve is today. So if you're not enjoying yourself a glass of wine or something, then you should be because of the incident of the day. Let's see. Well, that's not what I wanted. Oh, here we go. There is a lot of archaic laws. This is another thing I want to go into. President Franklin Roosevelt called it a damnable affliction. That is his term about the prohibition laws. He ran on a platform to repel prohibition. That was one of his big things. And obviously it worked. He got elected. And there are still 80 years after the end of prohibition. There are still states that we are having trouble shipping wines into and out of. I'm referring back, obviously, to one of our favorites here, Jeremy Benson from FreeTheGrapes.org. Jeremy Benson has been a guest a couple times on the show, and you can check out our archives and listen to what he has to say. But there are still states that 17 forbid the sale of wine in supermarkets. There are still 11 states. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 41. Yeah, 9. 9 states that do not have direct shipping laws changed and all that. Do not have, still antiquated laws. And those 9 states are being worked. Surprisingly, Mississippi is still one. Well, not really surprising. Arkansas, Utah, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky. Surprisingly, Kentucky. And Kentucky has a lot of wineries. Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. Although Massachusetts laws just changed. They just FreeTheGrapes.org just had a big thing about Massachusetts laws changing. But American Wine Consumer Coalition produced a state-by-state report card of access to wine, and it found that the best state, the best place for wine lovers, and this comes as absolutely no surprise to anyone, the best state for wine lovers is California. Considering they have over 4,000 wineries, that should not surprise us at all. This is interesting little chart here about the They have 20-page chart showing different wineries and popularity rank and all that from California wines. I won't go into that. I just now discovered that. But California, number one in the best place for wine lovers. 36 states still ban the shipment of wine from out-of-state retailers. Only 17 forbid the sale of wine in supermarkets. Still, sell a wine in the supermarket. Although we talked to Pennsylvania, and they said that they're allowing that now. I think they, in some of the other states, they're fighting for it. Some of them, you can't buy alcohol on Sundays. Others, you can serve alcohol 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. South Carolina, on Election Day, it's an alcohol-free day. There is a group called Distilled Spirits Council of the United States. And it's an acronym, DISCUS, D-I-S-C-U-S, is irritated by the continuing hangover from prohibition. They said after 80 years and the modernization within the industry, it's ridiculous that we still have all these antiquated laws. I said it's time to start opening up everything and making it easier to ship wines, to sell wines, to actually, have everyone have an opportunity to taste wines. Best states for wine, and since we're talking about the end of prohibition, the best states for wine consumers is, where is my list here? I had a list there to list the top 10 and the bottom 10, but I can't find it here now. Hangover from Prohibition blamed for 22 states scoring a D grade or worse. Best states to avoid if you're living in the states of Alabama, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, or Delaware. They all received an F score. Other poor states included Colorado, Indiana, and Mississippi. Mississippi is actually one of the worst. The laws of Mississippi are extraordinarily anti-consumer. This is going to give Jeremy a long, hard job to try to get that. Seven states and the District of Columbia received an A+. California, obviously, number one. We just talked about that. Other states include, and where is it? Let's see. Here we go. I knew it was here. No, because it didn't give it to me. Oh, well, I can't find it. The page not found. It just, and I was looking at it earlier. Oh, well. But some of the highlights from the report says 36 states banned the shipment of wines from out-of-state retailers, thus prohibiting citizens from accessing many imported wines and joining most wine clubs. 11 states banned the shipment of all wines, domestic and imported, from other states. 17 states. Let's back up. Domestic and imported. Domestic wines, by the law here in Florida, and I think it applies all around the country, if the wine is made here with Florida grapes or Florida content, it is called domestic. If I get anything from out of the state into it, that's an import. So you don't have to bring an import from Germany or Italy or France or something to be an import. Just I can get a wine from Georgia and put it on my shelf, and that's an imported wine as far as the state goes. 17 states ban supermarket wine sales. 15 states prohibit restaurants from encouraging patrons to bring your own bottle. And 2 states, Pennsylvania and Utah, control the sale and distribution of wine. State liquor stores still available, are still going in those 2 states. Although I understand Pennsylvania is loosening up a little bit on that. So those are the good states, best states to be in for it. A few wine facts here about Prohibition. Beaux Vineyard in Napa Valley increased its wine business fourfold during Prohibition by providing wine to the Catholic Church in San Francisco. Like I said, some of the states got by with it, and some of it did a great job. You can listen to, we've talked to a lot of different wineries in the show over the past, and some of them said that they survived Prohibition because of it, but a lot of them were you know, destroyed. You go back to the Midwest, I've read articles, and Missouri was one of the biggest wine producers before Prohibition. And it just destroyed them. Prohibition just stopped them. And after the repeal of Prohibition, California had picked up and they were doing great. Concannon Vineyards also went to the Sacramento wines. Following the repeal of the Prohibition in 1933, the Concannons put up a circus tent on the winery's front lawn and hired 100 men to help with bottling and labeling. Made it a regular production circus there. In 1922, there were 917 licensed wineries. They figured that would not be surpassed until 1980. Took them that long to recover. By the end of Prohibition, there were just 268 wineries. And they survived, I think, simply because they just hid and whatever. But today, the United States has 8,806 wineries, according to Wine Institute's latest figures. 8,806. California being the biggest with 3,754 as of 2012. So that's the latest figures that we have on 2012. I understand there's over 4,000 right now. Something I read recently was over 4,000. But 8,806. In 1940, there were 474 wineries in California and 1,090 in the United States. In 45, that dropped down even low. In 1970, and this is surprising, in 1970, there were only 240 wineries in California, 441 in the United States. That's amazing. I really do. I just think that's an amazing statistic there that it dropped down so low. That was the years I was out in California. It started in 70, went up to like 82, and they increased. But boy, that's an amazing statistic there. But wineinstitute.org, if you want to check out some of these numbers and some of this stuff, a nice website. Wineinstitute.org has a lot of information on there, but that's where I'm pulling these figures from. And one last bit of info here. 4 months before the repeal day, Federal Prohibition Director Alfred Vernon Dalrymple admitted defeat, according to Time magazine. Despite spending years chasing bootleggers, he declared, quote, "There's no use to kid ourselves, and there isn't any use in delaying the start of liquor manufacturing," end quote. The end was near. That was the realization. President Roosevelt signed into bill in March, I believe it was, a good time to so beer breweries opened up, and he said it was a good time to have a beer. So it's prohibition is over. We are can celebrate it every year, December 5th, and call it Repel Day. So mark your calendars. We're all going to have to start remembering that and open up a glass and have a glass for Repel Day.
Absolutely. Good times.
Yes, always.
All right. Do you have any other... anything else to, let's see, what do you have, Sunday, no, that's, wow,
that's
trying to see on the calendar, yeah, you had a wine fest last Saturday, yeah,
and then we got one coming up on the 15th, actually, yeah. The one coming up on the 14th is our birthday party,
yay,
oh, wow, it's that time already,
look already,
that.
Birthday
wow.
Party,
wow, that's awesome, okay,
yeah.
14. So it's going to be wine fest and birthday party?
Yes. We'll have birthday cake. We'll have door prizes. We got entertainment. We have vendors. We have all sorts of good stuff coming up on our birthday party.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great. Okay, so everybody will be filling you in again in the future, so, you know, before that happens. So
yeah.
Tune in for that. So that'll be great. That's always a good time. How was the turnout? Did you have some good vendors? Obviously, you have some new vendors come out this last Saturday or anything?
It was nice. We had gorgeous weather.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're bragging. We had gorgeous weather. It was just absolutely beautiful out there. We had quite a few people sitting outside and wandering around having a glass of wine, visiting our vendors, and it was a good day. Some of the new vendors enjoyed it. We got some more that are looking at signing up for the birthday party. Some more new ones even. So,
yeah.
So we're looking at that. So yeah, it's
mark your calendars early. Mark your calendars early for December 14th at Florida State's Winery for Wine Fest and the birthday celebration. It's going to be a fantastic time. And also the next day, you have a wine class.
Have a wine class the next day.
I saw that December 15th. It's a 3-hour wine class, so we'll give you more information on that, but those are always great, and learn all kinds of stuff, and you get to meet the man in person, Ron, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's always a good time there, so we'll give you more information on that and everything. And
AFRN, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We look forward to seeing you next week. It's they cut off a little bit early, so I just wanted to
throw
that out to them.
That's right. And I go back and edit it again. So thank you, AFRN. And, you can check them out at Twitter, at the AFRN, and also on Facebook. Check it out, the Armed Forces Radio Network. So they're on Facebook and their website, and that's also in our closing. But I don't think we're going to make it before we have to cut them out. So thanks for tuning in
on
AFRN. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So I guess we will, next Thursday.
Next Thursday we'll be back on. We got a guest coming up here. Oh, let's see. Let me look at my. I think next week. No, 12th. I don't know. Let me dig around here and see. Oop, not there. But we have a guest coming up in a couple of weeks from Australia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
yeah.
Where is that? I know I've got it here. But she's this is driving me nuts here. There she is. Okay. Sonia, and I will pronounce her name. Yeah, the 19th. She's coming up on 19th. So it's 2 weeks from tonight. Sonia will be joining us. She is she's getting together a little blurb, a little self-description to tell us who she is, what she is, and all that. So we'll be posting that on our Facebook page and on the website. And Mike, I'm sure, will pick it up and tweet it out to people and let you know. And Sonia, do you know how to pronounce this? I'm asking my engineer. No, she doesn't either. Ghiggioli. Ghiggioli. Don't know. She's going to have to. But she is working on a biome outline and sustainable viticulture. Moved away from direct winemaking. Now she's in the vineyard working on sustainable viticulture. Down in Australia. They're in the middle of the summer down there now, obviously. So looking forward to her, and she's been following the Florida State Winery website for quite a long time, and she's going to be able to join us 2 weeks from tonight on the program. So check out the Facebook page or the website, or check your tweets, and we'll let you know more about her as we get closer.
All right. Okay, we will do that. And we will be on again next Thursday, which will be December the 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to listen to us live, please do so. We'd love to have you tune in. And you can also call us anytime during the show. We give out the phone number in the beginning, sometimes during the show, depending on what's going on, and invite you to drop in and talk with us on the air live about wine or about the topic that we're discussing, because sometimes it does get a little off topic. So join us, and every once in a while we kind of detour, but, it happens.
But it's always interesting detours.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
So you want to chime in there, do it. Call our guest line, and that's also published on the show page and everything, which and on the intro when we first start up the show. So do that, or email anytime. It's all about wine101@gmail.com. Okay, email address all about wine101@gmail.com. You can use that at any time, and Ron gets those, and would love to hear from you. So do that.
Yeah.
I guess we will close the show for this Thursday. Thank you all for tuning in, and I cannot find out.
Check out the archives. We've got a lot of listeners on our ghost show there. Joy joined us on it. We've had a lot of people listen to that on archives. So check that out.
Yeah, it's been great. A lot of good shows on there. So do that.
Yeah,
free downloads on iTunes if you want to listen to that to them on from iTunes or right here on Blog Talk Radio, and also. So far, I believe we're still on Tuesdays on the Armed Forces Radio Network. So you can tune in there and check it out. So we'll see you all next time. And thanks for tuning in. And December 12th is the next show. Have a good week. And if you're up north, sorry about the we'll try and send you some warm weather, but I don't know.
We won't share. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
We'll keep it to ourselves.
Okay. There you go.
You can come down and visit us, though.
Yeah, come on down, especially on the 14th. So, all right, see y'all.
Thanks, Ron.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.